requires the same of us today in the sense to, when we hear about Christ and what he has done, this story of Jesus coming to the world, he was born in a manger in very, very poor conditions. But he was the king of the universe. He did this for mankind. When we hear this message of grace, this message of good news, of great joy, then we are required to act on it as well. What are you going to do with this message? Do you have joy in your life right now? Would you say you're a person that is characterized by joy? If not, there is a message of joy that God has given each of us, and he desires for his joy to be a part of your life. You just must go to him as the shepherds did. What did they do when they acted? They went to meet with Jesus. And that's what Jesus calls each of us to do now. Come to me. Come follow me, he says. I remember clearly when I responded to the message of good news of great joy of Jesus Christ when I was only 7 years old. My brother Mike, some of you have met him, and my father, when he was alive, were talking, and I was overhearing them talking about the gospel. They were talking about something about it. And I was only 7 years old, and I started to ask some questions. And then so they explained to me that I needed to pray to the Lord and give my heart to him and follow him as Lord, as much as I could understand as a seven-year-old, and you know, admit my need for his forgiveness. So they didn't want me to do it right there in front of them and, you know, follow them with a prayer or repeat after them. They just said, you go up to your room and pray by yourself and just ask the Lord to be your Lord. Ask Jesus to be your Lord. So I did. I went upstairs, and I still remember very clearly today that experience of doing that. And I began to experience the joy of the Lord when I gave my heart to Christ Jesus. The third characteristic we observe in the shepherds that was key to experiencing the joy of the Lord was something very practical, because they're practical people, is that they returned to work, right? They just went back to work. Look at verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told. So after this life-changing news was given to them, and they received it, and then they went and checked and they acted on it. They checked that everything that was told them was true, and so they saw that Jesus was wrapped in cloths in a manger, which probably was kind of unusual. So that's how they found him. I mean, if we found that we were told today, go to Edison and find a child that's wrapped in cloths in a manger, it would be pretty easy. We just get our smartphones out and say, where's a manger in Edison, right? If there is one, I didn't even know there was one, right? And then they'd give you the two locations possibly, and then you go to one or the other, and then you find a child there, and you'd be like, oh, that's cool, there it is, just like I was told, right? What are the odds of finding a child in a manger? It's not very good odds today, right? Hospital, yes. Maybe sometimes in a home or midwife's office or something, but not in a manger. And it was similar then, because you'd think the towns weren't as big, and it's probably not that common to have children born in mangers, and so that's how they found the child. But what did they do then? After this life-changing experience they had, and they told all the people that they knew, what did they do? It changed my life. I'm not going to be a shepherd anymore. No. They were like, okay, this is awesome. Let's go back to work. They returned to what they were doing before. They went back to their sheep. But they returned as shepherds, full of the joy of the Lord, as shepherds. And the work that they were going to do now, they had the joy of the Lord. Now, this is significant to notice, because the joy of the Lord is a joy that is experienced in all that we do. If our hearts are for Christ, then we will experience the joy of the Lord in everything we do. Everything you do. If the Lord is the focus of what you're doing. Everything we do. Not only when we gather as a church to worship the Lord, but also when you and I wake up tomorrow morning and we look at and think of the week ahead of us. Do we experience the joy of the Lord? Do we experience that joy? No. Often this probably isn't the first thing that pops in our mind when we wake up on Monday mornings, right? You wake up and you think, well, wow, God, thank you for another day to live for you. No, usually we wait first. It's hard to wake up, right? And then we think like, oh man, I got a test today, or you know, I got to go to work again. I don't like this job, you know, or whatever it is. It's just kind of, that's not our experience. When we wake up, do we experience the joy of the Lord in our hearts? Is it that thought in our mind? That is that our experience? Do we go to work or school with the joy of the Lord in our hearts? Or do we find ourselves more commonly weighted down with the pressures of life and maybe even resentful that we have these pressures in life? We're tired of carrying this burden on our back. That's probably more often the experience you and I may have. Then what's our problem? Where is our joy in those situations, at those times? If we are maturing in the Lord, if we're walking with Christ more and more, then the joy of the Lord should be bubbling up more and more in our hearts. Part of the problem is that joy of the Lord is often misunderstood. We tend to equate happiness with joy. And actually, these are two very different ideas because they come from different sources. Happiness is really dependent on what happens around us. You think it. Think about it, right? If I have a good day, I get a promotion, or my special someone in my life gives me a gift, or you know, whispers sweet nothings in my ear, or whatever it is, you know. If I have things that happen to me that are really good, then I'm happy. But if things that are really happen to me that really aren't good, I'm not happy. Right? The happiness depends on our circumstances or the things around us or the way we think or whatever it is. Happiness really comes and goes. But joy, on the other hand, is really doesn't depend on that. It depends on the Lord himself because the joy of the Lord comes from him and is input into our hearts through our faith in Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord remains solid and firm, ideally. Happiness can fluctuate. We can be unpleasant in an unpleasant situation and not be happy about it, but we will still have the joy of the Lord. That is possible and very real. Oswald Chambers has said, happiness depends on what happens. Joy does not. And so happiness is a feeling. Joy is more of an attitude, a state of mind. So joy, actually, if you look in the scriptures, Galatians talks about this in chapter 5. Joy is actually a fruit of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. So again, joy is a sign of his presence. If there's joy of the Lord in your heart, then God is dwelling within your heart. It's bubbling out in the sense of the joy of the Lord that you can see and as well as others. Now, when we don't have the joy of the Lord, what happens? We complain. We get upset easily. We get angry at each other. We get impatient. And we're just basically unpleasant to be around in different ways. Then we have lost the joy. So why do we often lack the joy of the Lord in our salvation? In the sense, we are saved. We've believed in Christ. We are Christians. We're followers of Jesus. And yet, so often, we just lack joy. We fall into this funk. Like, life sucks. You know? Why do we get that way oftentimes? And it's because our focus is more often on our salvation being what we get. It's kind of like Christmas. What are you going to get for Christmas, right? Well, I believe in Jesus because I get salvation. I get eternal life. That's the truth. If I believe in Jesus, he offers us eternal life and salvation from the penalty that our sins deserve because Christ took that penalty on himself. But if that's all we think of what we get, then our focus is still on what we get and on ourselves rather than on the person who provides that gift to us. Christ said, come follow me. He didn't say, follow the gifts I give you. Right? He says, follow me. Put your faith in me. And then the joy of the Lord will be in our hearts. It's when we get so caught up in like, oh, God's gave me this and he gives me this. Then we start to say, oh, he gave me salvation. So it's like a life insurance policy. I believe in Jesus, got it, fold it up, put it in my pocket, and I'm good. Oh, where'd the life insurance policy go? Oh, I lost it, you know, something like that. Then we lose our focus on who Christ is, the one who gave us the gift. And then that is why we lose our joy. So why do we often then live with a lack of joy, let's say, in our education? In our education. Most people I've spoken with don't like school. No, they do like school. They like the social aspect of school. It's a lot of fun, or college, right? But the schoolwork is hard. It's a pain. It's like never ending, right? Even on, like, a lot of you on Thanksgiving break, you had work to do. It's not like you had a real break other than you have to go to class. But it's, and in further education, and I was talking to Laura here, you know, her doctoral studies, it's like this big, heavy weight on her. You know, it's like, it's just there. It's even worse the higher up you go in your degrees that you're pursuing. It's just as Christians, then, where is the joy of the Lord in our education? Where is it? Did you even think of it? Can you have joy of the Lord in your schoolwork when you're doing homework tonight, today? Because those of you who have left it to the last minute, you know, tomorrow's school, you had the whole weekend, and you always leave until Sunday night. That was me, by the way. That's what I usually did. But where's the joy of the Lord in that, in our education? It's because we don't bring the Lord God into our educational experience because we just keep them separate. We don't think of ever asking and considering to ask the Lord, what kind of classes should I take, or what should be my focus with my education, the kind of things we do. For example, when I was in high school, I was a Christian, but I never thought about this. I never thought about, like, asking the Lord about what classes I should choose, especially in high school. I don't know if you get to choose your classes in middle school, do you? No, they're just told that you got to just do it. Okay. But in high school, you do have some choices, and then college, of course, you have a lot of choices. So I never thought about that. Nobody ever, well, maybe they did tell me, but I just never paid attention. Remember, when I was getting to my senior year in high school, I had some choices, so I chose two electronics classes that I wanted to take. Because you got to play with circuits and stuff. And I liked messing around with solder guns and taking things apart. Because it was fun. I was interested in that. And so I just took it. I didn't pray about it or anything like that. And didn't consider about my future or whatever. So at the end of my senior year, I remember I was asking my dad. I was kind of clueless. I was like, Dad, what do I major in? I have no idea. I don't know what I'd like to do. And my dad just looked at me and, as a good father, wise dad, said, well, you're good in math and science. Why don't you be an electrical engineer like me? I said, okay, that makes sense. And that's what I did. That was my deep insight for choosing my major in college. I didn't pray about it really much or anything. That's what I did. And so when I went into college, and by the way, electrical engineering is kind of a hard major. I didn't realize that when I chose it that way. But I didn't experience much joy of the Lord in my studies that 4.5 years in college. Unfortunately, I had joy in the Lord in my other involvements, like in the fellowship and church involvement, but when it came to my college, it was like two separate things. It was like, ugh, yay, ugh. You know, I didn't have that joy. But it did enter in toward the end of my college career. You know how? I had two major events in my life. My father died in my junior year. God took him away. That challenged my whole way of thinking of life. And then, shortly after that, I decided to go on summer missions with the encouragement of my pastor. First time I ever done anything like that. And it was those two things, those two experiences that the Lord used to show me that my education, my engineering, this electrical engineering thing that I had been keeping over here, not really inviting him to be a part of, was very much a part of his plan for molding me into what he wanted me to do. And so when those two things came together, you better believe it, my engineering studies began to become more exciting, more purposeful, more meaningful, rather than just something I thought I needed to do to get a job so I could live a life in the American way, you know, get my house, to get my two kids, whatever it is, you know, my wife, my dog. I got a dog now. I got a wife. No kids yet. But, you know, you know, you just to follow that pattern. Oh, yeah, you got to do this to get a job, to do this, follow the American dream, blah, blah, blah. And, you know. And it's really an empty dream if that's all that you're pursuing. And the Lord God does not enter into our education. So the point is that the Lord is the only one who provides purpose in life that is fulfilling and meaningful. So the challenge to each of you who are in education is to invite the Lord, ask Him, if you're a follower of Christ, to be a part of those choices. Ask him, even if you're in middle school, what are you preparing me to be and to do the way you've designed me? Help it just continue to blossom and help me to make those choices, even in high school and in college and beyond. So then we will experience the joy of the Lord in our education. Think of the Pharisees. They were highly educated, the scribes, one of the most highly educated people, and what did it get them? Did they have the joy of the Lord? No. Many of them were jealous of Jesus. They were spiteful of Jesus when he gained popularity. They didn't rejoice in the miracles Jesus was performing. No, they were jealous and they wanted to kill him. That's not the joy of the Lord. And they were the most highly educated people in Jerusalem. The joy of the Lord will be a part of our education when we include him in the process of our everyday decisions involving him in our education. Okay, next. So why do we often live with a lack of joy in our vocation? Vocation meaning our occupation or just what we do for work, our career in that sense. We lack, again, the joy of in our vocation is because we don't invite the Lord God into those decisions of what careers are we choosing, what job are we going to work at, you know, in a sense, and where we're going to live and all those things that are related to the job and that. And so when we remove that from that, then naturally we're probably going to end up with a joyless job, a job we go to just whatever, and we don't really have joy. But we can still have that same job, and if we invite the Lord God in that whole process of what we're doing, then the joy will percolate up. And if it's a job that we can't absolutely have joy in because the job itself goes against the commands of God, it doesn't honor God, then we have to change jobs. For example, I remember meeting years ago with a young adult, and he was struggling in his faith. He was a follower of Christ, but he was really struggling at this time in his faith. And so he was sharing about his life, and then when he got to his new job that he had gotten recently, I could start to see why he was struggling, at least in respect of the job. Because this job, his job was to help people find work. He was like a recruiter, somewhat, not really. But what his job was is he would prepare, he'd take somebody, say, so you're looking for a job. He would say, okay, tell me everything about yourself. We'll help you prepare a resume. And then there would be certain areas that you lacked experience in to get this job that you want. So basically, he would doctor the resumes to show that you have experience that you don't really have. He would lie. And he was trained on how to do this. Now, technically, you would have that experience by the time you got the job because you would have taken a course so that at least you'd know like what you put on the resume, but you may not have 4 years experience doing it. You just took a course for 2 months to know how to do it. But you would say on the resume you'd have 4 years experience doing this. So the company would hire you, and his job was to just get you in the door to get hired. Then you could prove yourself to the company that you can do the work. And that was his job, basically to lie. That was his job. So the consequences that he faced is that in his work, that every day he'd go to work, how can he go to work to honor the Lord God in his vocation? He struggled with this, and we talked about that. And he came down to it in the sense that, well, you know, it pays the bills. Yeah, so I just, you know, what else am I going to do? So then he continued to struggle with that. When the Lord becomes the reason for our work every day and everything we do, then the joy of the Lord will enter into what we do. And it doesn't matter what we do. He will bring joy in it. As Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then the joy of the Lord will fill our hearts every day as we work. As the theologian Harry Blaumeyer said in his book, A God Who Acts, he said, we must look for joy in the working out of God's will, never in the pushing forward of our own. And lastly, why do we often live, and this is more general, like we lack joy in our situations? You know, just everyday occurrences, our circumstances. We lose joy, again, because it's the same practice. We don't have that mindset, like that little girl, that God is overseeing our life. So no matter how crappy this part of this life period I'm in, I can have faith that God is in control and that He has my best in mind and that He will bring glory to Himself in the end. No matter how awful this seems, I can cling to that and smile, in a sense, look up and smile, because I know my God has my best in mind. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, you heard this text last week too. Again, I read it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you... Notice that. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. The circumstances that God allows in our lives are often painful and cause suffering. But we can understand them with the fear of God, right? We can understand that He has our best in mind. He allows things like sickness, cancer, car accidents, betrayal of a friend, maybe a loss of someone who was close to you, they died. He allows all these things that cause us difficulty and pain in our lives. Why? Because He wants to point us to Him. And when we look to Him, when we meet with Jesus as the shepherds did, even though He was a little baby, we will leave that experience with great joy. And so we must meet with Christ every day in our situations, in our education, in our vocations, and especially when we remember who saved us in our salvation, that it's Christ Jesus, and He is our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Suffering and pain is a way that God points us to Him. Someone once said, "I don't envy those who have never known any pain, physical or spiritual, because I strongly suspect that the capacity for pain and the capacity for joy are equal. Only those who have suffered great pain are able to know equally great joy." They actually give us the opportunity to know Christ and His joy. Think of that. It's not the way the world thinks. Philippians 3:10, Paul expresses this in his way, saying, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and," listen to this, "fellowship, sharing of His sufferings." Fellowship and the sharing of His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. In our salvation, in our education, in our vocation, in our situation, we can have the joy of the Lord, brothers and sisters, when we keep our eyes on Christ. I end with this third century man who was anticipating death. And it's third century, meaning the 200s A.D., all right? Long time ago, they found this writing, this ancient writing of this man who was facing death. And these are the last words he wrote to his friends. He says, "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found the joy, which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure this sinful life can provide. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world, and these people are Christians, and I am one of them." Could you and I say that? That we are Christians and we are one of them because we, no matter what the world throws at us, whatever God allows, He is our God, and He's greater than these problems. And we can have the joy of the Lord. That's our prayer, isn't it? That we can have the joy of the Lord, especially this time of year, when we remember Christ, who was born as our Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, may this encouragement of Your word and the example of this message given to the shepherds and how they received it and experienced the joy that comes from believing in You be an inspiration and a reminder and a challenge to us that we will experience as well the joy of this message of good news, of great joy, when we continue to put our eyes, as You say in Hebrews, fix our eyes on Jesus, our Savior, our God, despite whatever's happening or whatever we're doing. And then the joy of the Lord will be our strength every moment of every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.